Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. High school football is just about ready to wrap up. The only thing left, the championship rounds. Friday night, the semifinal games concluded, and this Thursday and Friday, champions will be crowned. The 3 9-man games are held on Thursday, and SDPB Steve Toom will handle the play-by-play alongside J.J. Hartigan. Toom joins us today from the SDPB Vermilion Studios with a preview. Hey, Steve, welcome.
Great to be here.
All the excitement coming up.
It has been an exciting football season. Records, great individual performances, outstanding team performances, so many storylines to go over. And, of course, the biggest one is the venue. This is the first time ever that the high school football championships will not be played at the Dakota Dome. They'll be up at the Dana J. Dykhouse Stadium in Brookings on the campus of South Dakota State.
We're heading to Brookings. What's the weather going to be like?
I checked yesterday, and I think it's supposed to be mid-30s on Thursday and about 40 or so on Friday. But the good news is no Arctic Express and no blizzard, knock on wood.
Just good football weather in South Dakota. All right, give us a preview. Who do we have coming up?
All right, well, we'll start off with the 9-man class. 9B, that's going to be the 4:30 game on Thursday, and it's Coleman Egan. They're unbeaten. They've been ranked number one pretty much from start to finish. They're going to take on Harriet Selby area, who came in as the number 6 seed when they got to the quarterfinal round. Harriet Selby knocked off 3-seed Del Rapids St. Mary by 10, and Harding County, they beat them 54-32 on the road. So Harriet Selby really playing some great football right now. Clayton Randall Jr. leads them. He had 6 rushing touchdowns. And I tell you what, folks who know high school football, winning at Harding County is no easy thing to do. Coleman Egan, they got a real test against number 4 Wolsey Wessington in the semifinals, winning by 10, 46-36. And Harriet Selby has lost a couple of games on the year to Sully Buttes and Ipswich Edmonds Central, but right now they are just putting up points like crazy. And I tell you what, this could be a pretty good game, but Coleman Egan has been the team to beat 9B all year.
All right, so they have a little momentum going to that for them. How do you like the matchup?
I like the matchup. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, and Coleman Egan's put up plenty of points, too. In the playoff rounds, they put up 52 against Irene Wakanda and then 46. So generally, the 9B games tend to be pretty high-scoring, and they're going to be playing on the turf, not in the perfect conditions of the Dakota Dome, but I think this is going to be a pretty high-scoring affair.
Who are the standouts at Coleman Egan?
Coleman Egan, they got Eli Bowen running for 1,200 yards on the season, and Nate Tolley, the quarterback, has thrown for 560 and run for 957 yards on the year.
All right, 9A.
9A, this is going to be the first game at 11 o'clock kickoff. It's Britton Hecla against Canastota Freeman. Of course, Canastota Freeman, defending champ. They were the 3-seed. They lost one game on the year. Britton Hecla, right now, they are unbeaten. They are led by Cole Fosness in the semifinal round. That was a really good game against 4-seed Gregory there. 14-8, the final score. And Canastota Freeman, they're led by the Ortman brothers, Tice and Trey. Tice ran for 185 and 3 touchdowns against Sully Buttes in the semifinal, a game Canastota Freeman won 56-22. And Trey Ortman on the year, 15 passing touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. Canastota Freeman is a team that can throw the football on you. A lot of 9-man teams just want to keep it on the ground. Britton Hecla comes in with a lot of momentum on their side as well. I think it's going to be a highly entertaining game.
Not too easy to beat Sully Buttes either.
No, I mean, Sully Buttes. Yeah, on the road. Yeah, Canastota Freeman had to go on the road to win at Sully Buttes up in Oneida. Again, not an easy task to win there.
But it was decisive at 56-22.
56-22, yes. So that's a big win there for Canastota Freeman, who knocked off a good Wall team 44-13 in the quarterfinal round.
All right, and what's up next at the 145 game?
That'll be Class 9AA, Viberg-Hurley against defending champion Bonham. Bonham, their only loss came to Canastota Freeman, 32-8 in the last game of the regular season. Josh Cronover leads Bonham. He had 966 rushing yards and 11 rushing touchdowns on the season and 1,244 passing yards, 14 touchdowns, did throw 9 interceptions. Meanwhile, Viberg-Hurley, this is a team that put up over 4,400 yards of offense, and they've outscored their opponents 536-102. They've allowed only 3 touchdowns in the entire season in the second half. They have just routed almost everybody they've played. Viber Curley is unbeaten. They've been ranked number one a good chunk of the year. Of course, Bonham's got that experience from the championship game last year. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a high-scoring affair, although Viber Curley got a real test from Lemon McIntosh in the semifinals, 32-26, and Bonham beat Duell at home 26-6 in the semifinals. But these teams can, again, put up big numbers, and it really comes down Josh Crownover for Bonham. Viber Curley's got to contain him if they want to win that game.
Tell me about some of the coaches that are leading these teams. What kind of programs are we talking about here?
Well, you know, Bonham, you know, used to be a traditional 11B powerhouse for many years. They dropped down to a 9A football, and that's kind of one of those things that's kind of a changing of the guard. Cavaliers, they've got a great program there over the years, and Viber Curley, this is a relatively new combination. But they've had success in a lot of other sports, and they're one of those programs that's really, really starting to gel.
All right. Now tell us one more time why we're in Brookings. Is this a permanent thing? Are they just testing it out for the year?
This is 1 year because of renovations at the Dakota Dome. They're still playing games at the Dakota Dome. The USD is playing there. Vermilion High School played this year. But they're working on one part of the dome, and the seating is limited. So with only basically one side of the seats available at the Dakota Dome, they're just not enough for the championship game. So the decision was made by the High School Activities Association to move the games. This is 1 year only. Next year they'll be back at the Dome, and I don't see them moving ever from the Dakota Dome outside of just this one thing where they had to work on the Dome.
All right. In our last 30 seconds, Steve, any team that sort of benefits or hurts? In the sense that you're changing venues, maybe a different pressure, they all play outdoors, so that shouldn't really matter.
They do, and quite a few teams now play on field turf. I think the teams like Brandon Valley, who's used to running the football, I think they'll have an advantage over Sioux Falls O'Gorman, although O'Gorman's been the surprise team in 11 AAA. And the Peer Governors, they are the heavy favorite in 11 AA. They have set a number of team records for points scored. In fact, they beat the old record that Jefferson High School set back in 1967. They have scored 678 points, and of course they had that big 103-0 victory over Spearfish in the first round of the playoffs, and of course that was a source of a lot of controversy. But Peer is historically good this year. They're taking on Brookings, who will be playing on their home field, but the Governors are a heavy favorite. They've been ranked number one all year.
All right, Steve, where can everybody follow the action this coming weekend?
It will be at sdpb.org. We'll be streaming all the games live. And, of course, it'll be on SDPB1 television. 4 games on Thursday, 3 games on Friday.
SDPB's Steve Toom, thanks so much. Always a pleasure. Have a good weekend. Enjoy.
Thank you.